Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. Not much of a surprise.
Here we go.
Now at number four, every week when Cincinnati moves up a notch, they set a record for the highest-ranked team outside one of the Power Five conferences. Of course, they are headed to the Big 12 in the future. But at the moment, they're in the American. What we don't know, the Bearcats move up. Number four.
The UC Bearcats.
Cincinnati at the moment is sitting with the last spot. Alabama and Georgia still have to play. So you got a really good spot for Cincinnati.
First thing, they took care of business. They look dominant against SMU.
For the first time ever, a Group of Five team has crashed the top four in the now eight-year history of the college football playoffs. The Bearcats are in at number four. Two slots remain. We'll monitor that and fill in the blanks for you. It's either going to be Michigan or Notre Dame. Michigan was ranked ahead of Notre Dame last week at number six. Notre Dame was at eight. So let's do this. Let me open up the lines. I've slotted two segments to take some calls. 513-749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-ONE, #700 on AT&T for the moment. And Michigan is number five, so Notre Dame will be six. Michigan is five, Notre Dame is six. The UC Bearcats have made history tonight. They have a regular season game against East Carolina remaining. They have a date in the American Athletic Conference championship game remaining. And then, fill in the blank. They are number four in a four-team playoff field. Your reaction when we continue. And our thanks to our friends at ESPN for letting us listen in on that one. Arnell Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW.
Says.
.721-700-WLW, Arnell Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. Visit Kelsey Truck Country, Route 50 in Lawrenceburg, the tri-state's newest and largest truck superstore with lifetime powertrain protection, kelseytrucks.com. If we could, for just a second, let this sink in. Again, to use a Wes Miller quote, we haven't crossed the finish line. I get that. But 5 minutes ago, the UC Bearcats made history, going where no Group of Five team has ever gone before. They crashed through what had been the ceiling. The committee put the UC Bearcats at number four in a four-team college football playoff field. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, the UC Bearcats 4. They don't control their own destiny as much as you would like to think. By winning out, there would still be an opportunity. Let's be honest, when you're looking at this committee, you never know, but there would still remain a possibility, even winning out, of the threat of the committee doing something, wink, wink. Behind the Bearcats directly, Michigan at number five, has Ohio State remaining in the regular season. I think Ohio State beats Michigan and eliminates them from the equation. Notre Dame is at six. They have Stanford. They don't have a conference championship game. That will hurt Notre Dame because they're out of the spotlight in the conversation in a week when conference championships are going on. I just don't see how, if we're being reasonable here, if we're being logical here, a one-loss Notre Dame team, there's not a scenario where you're going, as much as Lee Corso may profess the possibilities, they can't jump Notre Dame over an undefeated UC team. Now, Lee Corso over the weekend on College Game Day said he believes Notre Dame should be ranked ahead of UC right now, and when informed that Notre Dame had lost to UC at home by double digits, his response was, "I don't care." You hope the committee does not take that tact when push comes to shove. Let's take some calls. 513-749-7000, 1-800-THE-BIG-ONE, #700 on AT&T and cell phoning. Hey, Cliff, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Lance.
Good evening.
A great night to be a Bearcat fan.
It really
is.
You're
excited right now. You need to check yourself.
Man.
But here's the deal, though, Lance. Obviously, you're not putting the cart before the horse, nor am I. I thought this would come about in 2 weeks after the Bearcats win the AAC title in their home field. So here's the deal. I think what they're setting up is if Alabama loses to Georgia, that's going to be the little wiggle room they're going to set up. UC at number three versus Ohio State at number two, made-for-TV showdown, playoff semifinal. What do you
think? Baby, could you imagine that? I would almost pay to have that conversation on my show.
well, mark it down. That's the way it's going to unfold. And there's no way, absolutely no way, Notre Dame, if they went out, beat Stanford, UC wins out, you cannot put Notre Dame ahead of UC. Not this year, my friend.
Yeah, agreed. Cliff, thanks, buddy. Good hearing from you. Let's do just off the cuff, let's do instant reaction. I think Georgia's clearly the best team in the country. They are not going to get beat as we head down the stretch here. I think Ohio State beats Michigan. Michigan's then out of the equation. Alabama, I don't think, beats Georgia. So that will be a two-loss Alabama. Well, heck, let's not, you know, put carts ahead of horses and whatnot before. I wouldn't bet on it, but there is Auburn-Alabama this weekend still. Keep in mind, Alabama has one loss under their belt, of course. They have a two-point win over Florida, needed to bat down a two-point conversion to save that win. They gave up 35 and won by a touchdown this past weekend against Arkansas. So it wouldn't shock me if Auburn beat them in the Iron Bowl. But let's say Alabama gets through that and gets to Georgia. I think they lose. I don't see how you keep a two-loss Alabama team in the conversation at that point if you're the committee. So then they're out of the equation. You've still got UC, assuming they finish out by running the table. And you've got, if all of that were to happen, then you've got Notre Dame still butting up to try to get into the four spot and all that. If they're going to drop Alabama as a two-loss team completely out of the equation, you would think Michigan as a two-loss team would be out of the equation as a two-loss team. So then you're talking about, you know, Georgia, Ohio State, UC, Notre Dame as a four-team possibility when it's all said and done. Now I'm getting way too far ahead of myself. I should just take calls. Hyde Park, we go next. Hey, Murray, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, Lance, always good to hear from you. A couple of observations.
Yes.
I think the committee, although it could never be proven, felt enough external pressure, especially from the committee head, that you kind of stop overlooking UC.
I wonder how much the outside noise became a factor. And I think at some point you just have to, as a committee, say our credibility is at stake here. We may not want in our private conversations to really have a group of five team in this, but by gosh, they're undefeated and they played tough last year against Georgia and lost one time. We just can't keep making excuses for why we're not putting them in the top four.
Right. I think that number four position takes style points out of the equation. UC beats East Carolina by 10, and they beat Houston by 4. Alabama loses to Georgia. Michigan gets throttled this weekend by Ohio State.
Yeah.
UC, just doing what they need to do, pretty much has this locked up. Now, there could be things that happen. I understand that. But this number four position puts them in a pretty good situation to be that first team to make that Final Four.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, good hearing from you. Thanks, buddy.
Good hearing you.
Have a great night. Yeah, I mean, as I'm looking at what I've written down on this sheet in front of me, and I look at what remains for these teams and the path. That's the buzzword, the path for each team. And I don't see a path that if UC takes care of their business, I don't see somebody else having a path to like pass them in the fast lane and get ahead of them. I don't see it for Michigan or Notre Dame or Oklahoma State or Baylor or Ole Miss or Oklahoma, the other teams in the top 10. I mean, unless I'm missing something, it would take an awful big set for the committee if UC finishes undefeated taking care of East Carolina and then Houston. I don't know how the committee with a straight face would navigate one of those teams behind them to get ahead of them and push them out of the top four. Let's take some more calls. I slotted another segment for reaction. I'm going to live up to that. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk. We're going to take it till 9 tonight. I've got some Bengals in the 8 o'clock hour we'll get into. But I want to do a little bit more on this, certainly. Then at 9 o'clock, we've got basketball. The Bearcats playing in the Hall of Fame Classic Championship game. Dan and Terry set it up with the pregame show at 9 tonight. That is all ahead. Bottom of the hour, check on news now. R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet on 700 WLW. 735, 700 WLW. It's R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. Some primetime love for the Bearcats and Luke Fickell at the moment. The ESPN College Football Playoff Reveal Show has Luke Fickell as their guest at the moment, the only coach they have interviewed tonight on the show. Now, as I've set up all this excitement, leave it to my guy Todd Jones to pump the brakes a little bit. Todd Jones, longtime local guy, Columbus Dispatch, Columbus guy, worldwide perspective on sports. He says, hey, don't forget that TCU was number 3 back in 2014 going into the final weekend of the season. Undefeated TCU, number 3 in the college football playoff rankings. They beat Iowa State 55-3. And Ohio State jumped them, and TCU fell out of the top 4. TCU won 55-3 and dropped from 3 out of the top 4 in 2014. But that was 2014. This is 2021, and this is history for the first time. In the now 8th year of the college football playoff, a group of 5 team is on the inside of the top 4 as we head down to the stretch of the college football playoff. So again, the dominoes that fell, the Oregon State loss plummeted them from 3 down to 11. The Michigan State loss dropped them from 7 down to 12. And then everybody else wound up, Georgia stayed put, but Ohio State jumps Alabama to get up to 2. Bama drops it. Think of what the committee did. The committee dropped Alabama. At the start of all this, had I said to you, hey, the committee during this process is going to drop Alabama while it keeps winning, and it's going to move UC into the top 4, your reaction would have been what? You would have said, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the college football playoff committee. They're not going to do that. Well, they have done that. UC moves up 1-4, Michigan up 1-5, Notre Dame up 2-6, Oklahoma State up 2-7, Baylor up 3-8, Ole Miss up 3-9, and Oklahoma up 3-10. Whew, man, oh man. Let's grab some more calls. Doug's on a cell, and he's on 700 WLW. Hey, Doug.
Good evening, Lance. You know, what I see with this, you know, as this unfolds, is I see two great revenge games for UC. First knocking off Georgia, and then taking on the Big Bucks.
Oh, I'm getting lightheaded.
And at the end of the day, they're going to be in a league of their own as they blow up this committee, because they're going to do it.
Can you imagine?
They are the blue collar of football right now, in a program that's been doing things the right way for a long time under Coach Fickell.
No doubt about it. Doug, you're the man. Have a good night. Enjoy, all right?
You too.
Thank you. Keep this in mind. And I think, as much as I was guilty of hand-wringing and angst at times, during the stretch when UC played – oh, off the top of my head now, a Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, U.S. During that stretch where we talked about the close games, the style points, remember all those discussions? Oh, UC, you know, they're just not winning by as many as they should be. Keep in mind what the committee did to UC. During all of that, they never once penalized them. I know we've all been raised to doubt the committee. But during that stretch of, air quotes here, lacking style points, we talked about it, about not enough style points. They're going to be docked. They're going to be penalized. You know what the committee never did? They never not docked him. They never penalized him. They moved him up a spot. Remember, UC started 6 and moved up. They moved up a spot in the poll. And then this week, they moved up to 4. At no point in the fourth now week of this process has this committee looked at the UC Bearcats and said, we're going to drop them because they didn't look good enough. We don't believe in them. We don't buy what the Bearcats are selling. Never once did they drop them. And this week, they've moved them up and in to number 4. Yeah, let's get Matt Steinman working it on the other side. Was eavesdropping in on ESPN's talk with Luke Fickell. Let's hear a little bit of the coach of the now number 4 ranked UC Bearcats with Reese Davis, courtesy of ESPN.
I think it's awesome. I think it's great for our entire team, our program, our community, and our campus. We know, and we keep trying to stress to our guys that we've got a ways to go, and we've got 2 really big games coming up here. I think all in all, I think that the excitement about it and the recognition is well-deserved to a group of guys that have really fought and battled all year.
The questions about your team over the last few weeks, whether fair or unfair, were that you weren't putting away lesser opponents. But then you face an 8-win SMU team, a team that many deemed to be a threat to you, and you absolutely bludgeoned them. What was the difference?
I wish I could tell you. I mean, I thought during the week, I thought we had a little bit more energy. I think it was a little bit of a lift knowing what was coming into our home and obviously senior night too. So all those things, I tell you, going down the stretch, you're kind of trying to figure out the mindset of an 18 to 22-year-old. There's a lot of things that are going on. We keep pounding about, hey, you got to play your best ball at the end of the year. And I think it kind of all just kind of came to a head, and they recognized where they are and what they need to do. And I think they just had a little bit more focus and drive to play an SMU team that was really good.
Luke, obviously emotions are a big part of playing the game and getting guys to peak emotionally on Saturday or Friday, whenever the game is with that particular week. So much outside noise. Now you're up at number 4. You hear guys like us talking about, well, they got to not just win, but look good doing it. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with not trying to look good, just going out and executing and playing ball? Because you know your kids are hearing that nonsense, how they it's not good enough to win, but look good doing it. That's the dangerous, kind of a slippery slope.
You know, we try to kind of pound it in their head and preach to them. A lot of times while I'm preaching to them, I'm preaching to myself, just not allowing the outside noise to affect us, trying to find some way to enjoy some of what it is that's going on. And, you know, the group of guys that we got and really try to put the focus on us and what we do. And, you know, the connection that these guys, these 30-some seniors have together, I think that's where I just keep pounding away at. You know, this is one of your last opportunities for you guys to go on the road and play together. This is one of your last opportunities, you know, as a senior group to play it in front of your home crowd and really kind of try to take their minds into what it is that they do and the people that are around them, hopefully trying to distract them a little bit from the other noise and maybe what other people think they need to be able to do.
Luke, so you look at the situation, and for weeks, I know you don't watch, but I know your kids watch because why wouldn't they? And so much talk about Houston. When would Houston be ranked? And Houston's won 10 games in a row. You got to go in the room and play East Carolina, who has, I think, 4 losses. How do you get your team? Hey, guys, now we're in the top 4. We have to laser focus on East Carolina as if that's the biggest game we've ever played in.
Well, I hope that's kind of the way we preached it the whole year. We know that there's, and we've seen us kind of, you know, maybe have some of those issues as we've gone on the road, you know, in the last 5 weeks. But it's just a constant battle. And I hope and believe that maybe a Friday game kind of throws them out of their routine a little bit more and makes them have to, you know, do a little bit more, a little bit earlier. And all in all, just kind of keeps them a little bit more focused. But, you know, it's a constant battle, Joey. And, you know, I think that they know all the noise, they hear all the other things, but it's really what do they truly believe in their hearts and their minds, not just about our own self, but about what it is that we're going to be walking into in East Carolina this weekend.
Hey, Luke, one last thing. You played at Ohio State. You coached there forever. You've been a part of national championship teams. You know what the blue bloods look like. this Cincinnati team, how good are they? Forget rankings. How good is this football team? Forget what league you're in. Just this team compared to other teams you've been around. How good is this team?
I think we are a really good football team. I think we can compete at the highest level. And I say that because I think all three phases we've been really successful all year. And our defense has played well. Our offense has played well. But the other thing I think that not everybody, I would say I haven't had the luxury of having, is 30-some seniors. And guys that have, you know, gone through a four-win season and kind of really felt like they had no chance and nobody gave them any opportunity. And then those guys to kind of grow up in front of your face. I don't know that I've ever had this good of a team with 30-some seniors that, you know, I think it means something a little bit different to those guys that, you know, have kind of battled through all of what they battled through.
Good stuff. Thanks to Matt Steinman on the other side for monitoring and turning that around. And I think that final point by Luke Fickell is a strong one. Keep in mind, this team has, what, 33 seniors? Been there, done that, been there, lived through that, experienced that, done that. Having said that, Friday afternoon at East Carolina, day after Thanksgiving, thoughts of the college football playoffs dancing in their minds. The recent history against East Carolina. Oh, I don't like that game. I'd almost, if you gave me a list, there's a lot of teams I'd pick over playing East Carolina. That, I don't want to say it scares me. It makes me uncomfortable. How's that for the word of the day? Again, the UC Bearcats have made history tonight. They are into the college football playoff rankings at number 4. Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, UC 4. You know, just say that again out loud. And I know they're not like a Johnny-come-lately, like out of nowhere. I know they've been around. They were undefeated into the Peach Bowl last year. But just when you look at it on paper and when you say it, Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Cincinnati. Those four in the same sentence of college football powers. It's got a nice ring to it, does it not? Hey, Dale, welcome to Sports Talk.
Thank you, Lance. First time caller.
Hey, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, question.
Yes.
I haven't heard anybody discuss what would happen with the rankings if Michigan beats Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, because then Ohio State, you figure, at 2 has to drop. I mean, with 2 losses, they drop out of the equation. And then you set up a scenario. Does Michigan by beating Ohio State jump over UC to, let's see, then you'd move. Well, I got to do this on the fly. If Ohio State's out of the equation, Bama then goes up to 2, then maybe Michigan jumps up to 3 and UC stays at 4 perhaps.
What if the committee still deems Ohio State one of the best teams in the nation?
Oh, I can't
even
see
with
if
two,
yeah, with, but with 2 losses, with a home loss to Oregon, who's now out of the top 10, and with a more recent loss to Michigan, I mean, it was going to be tough enough to make a case for a 2-loss Alabama. I just can't see it.
Well, I hope you're right. I hadn't heard anybody discuss that, and I wanted to throw it out there.
There you go. Hey, I'll take it. Hey, Dale, thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Enjoy your evening. Yeah, there are. I mean, we can create some chaos here. What if Alabama does beat Georgia? That's not going to impact because they're both above UC. But if Georgia were to lose, and then what does that? Then Ohio State jump up to 1, or does Alabama jump up to 1 because they beat Georgia with 1 loss? And then now below UC, I think is a little bit easier in terms of, I just can't see Notre Dame, as long as UC keeps winning, Notre Dame can't jump them. I don't see a scenario where Oklahoma State with 1 loss or Oklahoma with 1 loss, even though they play each other, I just can't see the winner of that jumping UC. Baylor's not going to jump UC. Ole Miss isn't going to jump UC. Whew. I just know this, at this stage, to look at that list and see the UC Bearcats number 4, that's fun. We go cell phoning. Brian, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, how's it going, Lance?
I am very well, Brian. What do you make of all these goings-ons?
Well, I mean, it's obviously it's a historic day. It's extremely exciting as a Bearcats alum and a Bearcats fan. But I think what is even more exciting, and I know it's like, how could you get more exciting, is that if you really look at it, and if UC just does their job, I don't statistically see a way that they can bump outside of losing a game.
Yeah.
Ohio State or Michigan, one of those is going to lose. If they beat ECU and then they beat a ranked Houston,
mm-hmm.
nobody can do it. Nobody can jump ahead of them. Then without they, having a little, yeah. a little uproar.
Yeah, I agree with you. I keep looking at this. I've got the top 10 in front of me, and I just can't create a scenario where, as long as UC keeps winning, I can't imagine the committee being able to make a case that somebody behind them, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10, is going to have enough cred and a resume to jump ahead of UC. I mean, and I know that's going to be the fear in the back of everybody's mind that finally, at some point, there'll be a way to stick it in the back of the Bearcats. I just can't see the logical case being made.
Yeah, me neither. And with the holiday season, I was kind of thinking about it earlier. It's almost like when you ask for something for Christmas and you see that box shaped and you know what it is, but you can't open it yet.
Yes,
it's
yes.
There, it's yours. You got it, but you don't have it yet.
Yep. That's very well said.
Have a great night.
Hey, you as well. Thank you. So let's do this. Just off the top of my head, flying by the seat of my pants right now, with UC at 4, Michigan is at 5. The winner, if Michigan loses, they're done. If they win, certainly Ohio State's going to drop below UC. I said certainly. Can we say certainly? Yeah, because Ohio State would have 2 losses. There's no way Gary Bard is going to get on there and with a straight face make a case for a 2-loss Ohio State team ahead of UC. So somebody, Michigan, I think Michigan's going to get boat raced. I think Michigan falls completely out of the conversation on Saturday. Notre Dame's got 1 more game left, no conference championship. And oh, by the way, they lost on their home field to UC by 13. There's no way Notre Dame's going ahead of them. Oklahoma State has a loss. They're at 7. Oklahoma State's not going to be able to do anything impressive enough to jump them over UC if they're only at 7 as is with a loss. Baylor's not going to be able to do enough to get from 8 over UC. Ole Miss at 9 isn't going to be able to do enough to get over UC. And Oklahoma at 10's not going to be able to do enough. I mean, I'm not missing something, am I? I guess we're missing the great unknown of behind closed doors what 13 human beings do representing the College Football Playoff Committee. But if you were going to, if you've shown enough respect for UC, and I'm going to go back to this, they haven't jerked UC around. They haven't toyed with them. This is the 4th week they've analyzed UC for these rankings. In week 1, they put him at number 6. Now, that drew the ire of many, including me. But the next week, despite UC playing a close game against Navy, moved him up. Moved him up to number 5. The next week, despite a close game lacking style points against Tulane, kept him at 5. The next week, again, another game. Oh, they probably should have won by more, but they didn't. Committee kept them right at number 5. And then this week, they blow the doors off of SMU. Some other teams lose. What did the committee do? They weren't looking for a way out. They moved them not just up. They moved them up and into their exclusive club. So there's nothing they've done since the first ranking that would indicate something nefarious, something underhanded, something dark alley secret stuff going on, double secret probation will really show the UC Bearcats. What they've shown the UC Bearcats is they consider them the number 4 team in the country. And if they take care of business, they're going to play in the freaking College Football Playoffs. Are you kidding me? It is 8:20. I am not kidding you. R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet, 700 WLW. 824-700-WLW, R&L Global Logistics Sports Talk, presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. Oh, Twitter is burning up. Thanks for all the tweets tonight. I'm at Lance McAllister. The Twitter feed is presented by Barleycorns. We love Barleycorns. Three locations in Northern Kentucky. Please understand my giddiness tonight as a UC football season ticket holder for a number of years, and my dad's a UC grad, to understand the opportunity presented tonight and the door that has been opened to say, come on in with Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama. I mean, let's just play the game right now, the scenarios. Right now, that playoff field of four would result in a semifinal matchup of number one Georgia versus number four USC, or UC, rather, rematch of last year's Peach Bowl. I know some of the players have left, but Georgia versus UC, does anybody want Georgia right now? And then two versus three, Ohio State versus Alabama. Now, follow me here. I think Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game. So then you're four, Georgia one, Ohio State two, UC moves up to three, and Notre Dame moves in to four, right? I mean, if Alabama's falling out of this equation, the most logical one, because that would mean Michigan's also lost to Ohio State in this scenario, the most logical one to move into the four if Alabama does lose to Georgia would be Notre Dame at four. So that would be one Georgia versus four Notre Dame, two Ohio State versus three U. Freaking C in a semifinal game. I think my pacemaker just fired. Are you kidding me? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the college football semifinals in the eighth year of the college football playoffs. Today, a clash of titans. One Georgia versus four Notre Dame and two Ohio State versus three. The story of the college football season. The party crashers from Clifton. Here come your UC Bearcats. Can you imagine this town, this state, this region? I can only tell you the stories related to me by my dad of what it was like when Ohio State and UC played for the college basketball national championship back-to-back years. I mean, think about that for a second. In back-to-back years in 61 and 62, of all the college basketball teams in the country, UC and Ohio State played in back-to-back years for the national championship. Can you imagine if it's Georgia, Ohio State, UC, and Notre Dame? I mean, you talk about royalty and blue bloods and Heisman history, and you're talking about the UC Bearcats and Ohio State Buckeyes going in one semifinal. You know, and Matt Steinman made a great point before we hit the break. In terms of being leery of the committee, like giving them the side eye, like, I don't know if I really trust you, Gary Barta, and you other committee members, they could have. If the committee could have sat there and said, all right, man, we're starting to sweat it a little bit because UC just keeps winning and they've really, you know, taken away all our excuses. You could have, in theory, and I would not have passed out. It would not have been totally unexpected if the committee had thought, you know what? Let's jump Michigan ahead of UC, one spot ahead of them, and that buys us another week, a wait-and-see week. Let's make UC win again because we know in the back of our mind Michigan or Ohio State, somebody's losing this weekend, so it really doesn't matter if we move Michigan ahead of them because the way we view this, talking in committee terms, Ohio State's going to beat Michigan, and they'll be out of the equation by the end of the weekend anyway. But for the moment, let's move Michigan State up to four. Maybe we buy ourselves a week, and maybe UC has a letdown and loses to East Carolina, and then we are home free and we can do whatever we want. They didn't do that. They stuck with what they've determined about UC football. Their belief in them. They have not expressed a doubt in them. From six in the first week, they moved them up to five. then kept him at 5, then moved him to 4. Ooh, a team to keep an eye on. All right, I want a team to keep an eye on. Let me go cell phoning. Hey, Jim, welcome to Sports Talk. Hey, Jim. Jim?
Hello.
Hey, there you are. What's on your mind?
So, three things.
Yes.
On the Bearcats.
Yes.
One, most important, they got to take care of business.
Yes.
Luke is very good at keeping them focused away from all this noise and on their job, but that's got to happen. Two, my biggest concern is a one-loss Big 12 team like Oklahoma State, maybe not Oklahoma, but Oklahoma State, jumping a bunch of people and getting in. So from behind, that's my biggest concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, that's a good point, because of the teams behind UC, directly, Michigan will be out of the equation, I think they'll lose. And then you've got Notre Dame, but they've already lost to UC, so that's not as much of a threat. And next in the pecking order is the team you just mentioned, Oklahoma State, who's going to get a shot at Oklahoma. That will be a nice resume win. You'd be knocking off number 10 in the poll.
Yep, your expert from earlier,
yes,
talking about Texas Christian, yeah.
Yes,
in this situation, just that concerns me. And it's all about the money. And about the money,
yeah.
So I've heard people make the argument that a blowout loss for UC would be terrible for UC ratings in the playoffs. And I make the reverse argument. A lot of people would be intrigued by a match by a non-Power 5 conference in the playoffs. And if they can hang in there in any game they play, the ratings will go up and up and up.
I would agree with you. Jim, thank you. Enjoy your evening.
Thanks.
Have a great night. I will say this, and I get a lot of this. Oh, UC would get blown out. And my response was on Twitter a few minutes ago to somebody who said, if they make the playoffs and face any of the other three, they will end up like my Thanksgiving turkey, smoked. And I said, like last season when they played Georgia and it went down to the final field goal of the game. I just know this. In the seven-year history of the college football playoffs, the average margin of victory in the semifinal games has been almost 21 points. I believe, I don't have the sheet in front of me that I figured it up, I think it's 20.6. So understand, when the committee has put these teams together in their previous seven attempts and matched them up in semifinal games, for everybody worried, oh, UC would get embarrassed, they get boat raised, they get curb stomped, it wouldn't be fair. In the previous 7 years, the average team that lost in the semis lost by almost 3 touchdowns. Stop worrying about it. The average national championship margin of victory, over 13 points. There have been some colossal blowouts in the seven-year history of this tournament. Stop worrying about UC being one of them and causing the end of college football as we know it an embarrassment to all. Because there have been some blue bloods who have lost by 30 and 40 in this college football playoff seven-year system, and I think they've been okay. It just kills me. It's just an easy, lazy troll by people. Oh, if they get in, I wouldn't even want them to play in the semifinals. They'll just get killed. Just stop it. Have you watched UC play football this year? Did you watch them go and thoroughly dominate Notre Dame in the house that Rockne built? Blown out my rear. Cell phoning. Alan, welcome to Sports Talk.
Hey, Lance.
Hey.
This is going to get your ticker fired.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody has brought this up.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, thanks for taking my call first time.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
Anyway, what if, is there any way that UC could become number one?
Oh.
Win it out.
Yeah.
Georgia loses to Bama.
Yeah.
But then in the SEC title game,
Bama goes down.
Okay, okay, all right. And then Ohio State loses to either Michigan or loses in the Big Ten championship game.
Correct, correct. Now you're following me.
Okay, clearly then, I see where you're going, and there is a now distinct possibility. Your UC, welcome to the stage, your number one ranked UC Bearcats.
We are number one.
Can you imagine that?
that would just throw that committee in a tailspin.
I would be deliriously happy.
It's possible.
Anything is possible at this point. Yes.
At this point. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, Alan. All right. Yeah, of course. You know, Georgia loses to Georgia Tech this weekend. Ohio State loses to Michigan or loses in the Gary Barta. Can you see Gary Barta? The look on his face. And ESPN and Reese Davis. All right, let's reveal it. And number one, they're dancing in the streets of Clifton tonight, the UC Bearcats. We'll head down the stretch, figure out what happened on this date in sports history. I think we could have used 4 hours tonight. But UC basketball is coming your way at the top of the hour. We'll do On This Date next. Arnell Global Logistics Sports Talk presented by Kelsey Chevrolet. 700 WLW.
Cincinnati.